And you know what? My coworker told me today that you can pay money to run out of the A with them.
No way.
So like and subscribe so we can raise money for
Yeah.
Alex to run out of the A
I'm
with the
not doing
Razorbacks.
that. I'm not doing that. My running through the A ended in high school. And it's a lot of Sam Pittman talk. I get it. If the guy wins four games this year, obviously, he needs to be let go. But it's the
Yeah.
beginning of the year. Why would you want your team to do bad just to get rid of some guy? And a lot of these people who are talking about firing Sam Pittman think Bobby Petrino is going to be the next head coach. Newsflash, he's not going to be.
They're all
He's
gone.
gone. Everybody's gone.
They're
Travis
all
Williams
gone.
is gone. So let's just see how. Let's watch him play a game. We hadn't even watched him play a game, and people's already firing him.
And they're going to throw Mallett. Oh, he's got a man wide open. He totally fooled the Georgia defense. Chris Gregg going to have a sandwich, going to walk in. Got to drive it, Brad. You got to drive it. Madden for maybe the win.
Now closing in on Emmitt Smith, of all people, in terms of all-time rushers in the SEC. Looking to pass it. He's thrown four touchdowns. Up for grabs, and there's number five.
We're going to kind of get into the roster here. Start on the offensive line. They got the second-best pass blocker in the portal. And left tackle Corey Robinson, redshirt senior, big kid. I mean, can really pass block. He lost a lot of reps at Georgia Tech, I think, just not being able to really run block. I think he split reps with someone else. What do you think about him?
I mean, I've seen what you're talking about, where he was splitting reps on run blocks. So I want to see if he can run block, because I mean that's going to be real important.
Yeah.
Even the way last year Bobby was calling plays, they were running a lot, so he's going to have to be able to. But I saw some stat where he was like 422 pass snaps where he hasn't allowed a sack, so that's going to help a lot because Talen has been needing that.
Yeah, and you think a full, you'd hope a full, spring ball, fall camp, they can get him, they can get his reps where they need to be. And then left guard, you have Fernando Carmona back. That's a huge take. I mean, he was probably the most consistent guy last year, I'd say. He loves being a
Yeah, I
Razorback.
mean,
So.
he's a for sure NFL guy, so I don't think there's any worry about how he'll slot in or how he'll
Yeah.
do.
Yeah. Another, I guess not new addition. He was on the team last year, but a redshirt freshman, Kobe Branum, right tackle, or right guard, I'm sorry. I'm high on him. I think he's going to be really good. And what you hope for in a kid like this, being a redshirt freshman, is that, he stays healthy, number one. And number two, he just starts the rest of his games as a Razorback, and you have him for 3, 4 years.
Yeah, I'll be rooting for him, Fort Smith kid. I want him to do good. But also, like you said, I mean, he's a redshirt freshman. I mean, I think it's impressive that he's already being talked about as a starter. But I think also it's like, I don't think there will be too much pressure on him because you have Amarian Harris and McCroy on that side. So I
Yeah.
think he'll probably get some good, he'll rotate in and out, I'm sure. I'm sure he won't be out there all the time.
Yeah, I think, and we'll get to Blackstock on the defensive line moving over, but I think it kind of shows you that he had that job 1 weeks ago. I know a lot of people were talking about, well, this is crazy. They just now moved him over. Listen, Blackstock's probably been taking reps at D tackle for all fall camp, maybe. I mean, you never really know. They're only going to let the media see so much, but you got to think they're not. I don't know. I just have a feeling that he's probably had that job won for a little while, and they feel confident in it.
Yeah, I've seen some people kind of freaking out about that, but I haven't. Nothing really concerned me about that. I think if they're moving him to D tackle, I think that's good. That's another piece on the D line that where we have a lot of questions. So hopefully you can help out there, and also that means that they feel comfortable with who they have on the O line, that they don't need an extra guy.
Yeah, and then we got Caden Kittler, center, 6'3". I think he's just going to be solid. He's going to be a guy that they just, they feel confident in him. He's had that job. I don't think there was any position battle there. He kind of just stepped in, and he's just going to kind of keep the ball moving. The problem really last year wasn't center. I mean, some of the snaps were, a little lower, a little high, but. This really, this is really the first center we've had in a while that's actually, you know, like a true center. We've had a lot of people moving over there for the last 3 or 4 years. And then, obviously, Amarian Harris, right tackle. He beat out Shaq McCroy. I think Shaq, he's going to come around. He's still pretty young. Big kid.
Yeah. He's also still a freshman, right? McCroy?
Redshirt. He played at Oregon.
Redshirt freshman.
Yeah, he was redshirted at Oregon last year. But Amarian Harris, he's got the experience. You know, I mean, hopefully he's a little bit better. I mean, it was just a combination of a lot of things last year with the offensive line, letting free roaming blitzes just completely missing people. The back's not picking up. I mean, the blocking in the running back room last year wasn't where you would want it to be, and it made the offensive line look even worse. You know what I mean?
It wasn't there in the tight end room either. I don't think anybody was doing nobody was doing good blocking last year.
Yeah, but that's
That don't help the line though, like you're saying. That makes them look even worse.
Yep. And I think this revamped offensive line, I think they're gonna be better than they were last year. I really feel confident in that. I mean, with Corey Robinson and Carmona, I think the left side is just going to be pretty solid all year. My main deal is I hope, you know, not that I hope, but I really think Kobe is he's ready to go. You know, he's going to have to be. These first couple games really probably aren't going to be, you know, anything crazy, but I'll be curious to see how he pulls and, you know, seals off the edge and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think last year too, like, just to go back to it, like last year we run blocked really well. Like every team we played, we almost ran the ball all over them. We just couldn't pass block. So the Corey Robinson stat and some of these new guys are coming in. If we can pass block and our run blocking goes down just a little bit, that's perfectly fine with me.
Yeah, we couldn't pass block, but it tailing through for almost 3,200 yards. So that's a positive. Yeah.
somehow. All right.
Yeah, somehow. And then at tight end, who's starting at tight? Rohan Jones? Is that who that is?
Yep.
Yeah, Rohan Jones. He's going to be the starter. 6'3". I really haven't heard a lot about the tight end room. I don't know if that's worrisome or if they're just confident in it. I mean, I've heard some, but a lot of the talk's been O-line, wide receivers, O-line, wide receivers.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much about the tight end room either, but I mean, I have heard, I think it was Trey Biddy I was listening to. He said Rohan Jones, he looks the part of a SEC tight end. He's a big athletic guy.
Yeah.
And I know Montana State is one of the top FCS programs, so him coming from there, I've got high hopes in him. I'm not expecting him to go be, you know, Travis Kelce and be the first team all SEC and everything, but I think he'll compete and be good.
Yeah. What you hope for is that, like you said, the blocking's there. And really, I mean, you think back to Bob Petrino offenses, the tight ends were used a lot more. And I think, Luke has had a lot of hate go his way. I think he was hurt the majority of the year. And it was on that Oklahoma State long touchdown. He kind of pulled up, if anybody really remembers that play, but he kind of pulled up at the end and he really wasn't the same. I mean, he still played and contributed some, but we have to get them more involved. You know what I mean? I mean, that's Taylen Green's safety net in this offense, is those drag routes or the out routes or the corner routes. I mean, that's got to happen. You know what I mean? For this to be a really, really successful season, you're going to have the tight ends show up.
They'll be big.
Yeah. All right. And we'll get into the receivers now. A lot of new faces.
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
He's not starting, but that tight end from Texas A&M, Platt, I'm excited to watch him. I mean, he was a high recruit coming out of high school, and he played under Bobby for 1 year at A&M, so I think that says something that he wants to come play for him. So I'm hoping that they'll rotate in and out, and honestly, both of them be good. But I got high hopes for him.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. All right, so on to receiver. Basically, everything coming out of spring ball, fall camp, Omega Blake is going to be that guy. You hope there's a bunch of guys, but you always want that one that draws a little bit more attention. And Omeo Blake, 6'2", 187. I mean, from all I hear, he's the real deal.
I was listening to one of Bobby's interviews, more recent interviews, and he was talking about the whole wide receiver room, who's having good practice, who's picking up on the routes and stuff. Somebody asked him about Omega Blake in practice today, and he said, honestly, we didn't get to see none of Omega Blake today. They were, like, double-teaming him all day. Yeah. So if they're already double-teaming him in practice, I think that's going to be good for how the games are going
to
go.
Yeah, they're tired of getting burned.
They have to – yeah, they're going to have to do something.
And you know what – one surprising thing, you know, you sent me this depth chart, and I'm surprised they don't have Raylan Sharpe starting. They have C.J. Brown starting over Raylan, mm-hmm. which is
– I was surprised about the same thing when I sent it to you. I knew you were asleep, so I didn't send you a bunch. But that was another person that Bobby talked about. He's been killing it in practice.
Yeah.
He's they said, you remember like the last couple games of the season last year where they started playing C.J. Brown a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he started picking up the offense real good, and he knew it the best out of all the receivers last year. So going into this year, he still knows it even better now.
Yeah.
And he also, they said he's playing super fast. He had the highest miles per hour, like he hit like 22 something miles per hour. So apparently he's playing out of his mind right now, so I'm excited to see him.
And over in the other slot is, or outside receiver, Jaylen Brown. Heard really good things about him. Good hands. I've seen, you know, because
he's fast too.
Yeah, we're not able to go to the practices. You know, we don't have that type of luxury. Mm-hmm. But, you know, from what I've seen, he can catch some tough passes.
Is he from Florida, correct?
I have no idea.
Or no, that's Andy Jean. I don't know where Jaylen Brown's from.
I can
Sorry.
See right here. He is from Miami, Florida.
Okay.
So you would be correct there. All right. One of the not really biggest surprise, but one of the things that just makes me grin is Mike Washington named the number one running back on the depth chart. Kid shows up. Now, there was a lot of stuff this offseason. I mean, Braylon Russell played well last year. He really did. I was impressed with how well, I mean, in big. But, you know, a lot of, well, he's going to go, he's going to stay, he's going to go. And then he came back. This Mike kid comes in, New Mexico State. And apparently, from everyone, all the coaches, he's the best athlete on the team. The dude's a monster. Apparently, he's Nile Davis 2.0, is what Bobby Petrino said. I'm excited to see this kid. I mean, I'm just excited to see him.
I've been watching a lot of his highlights from New Mexico State and Buffalo the past few weeks, and when I watch him, I'm just being honest, he just reminds me of Rocket, that year that Rocket was killing everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just real big and strong, and like, he looks funny running because he's so big, but he was still fast. That's just who he reminds me of. He's going to be a big physical back, but he's also super fast like Rocket was too.
Yeah, and really, I mean, we need a back. We need a 1,000-yard back. That's one of Arkansas's biggest things that they've lacked since Rocket's, 2021 year, I think? Maybe, something like that. Last year, Jaquindon rushed for 790 yards. I think Taylor was around 600 rushing yards. But
if Jaquindon, to be fair, if Jaquindon didn't miss like four games, he would have had it. But we still need it.
We need that guy, and hopefully he is that guy. I think Braylon's still going to be really, really good.
They'll split almost evenly, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was just surprised to see him number one. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you still got Rodney Hill, you know, transfer from Florida State last year. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's probably going to get some reps. And A.J. Green, former Razorback, former Oklahoma State Cowboy, back to being an Arkansas Razorback. It's cool to see him back. You know, he was there the season that they won the nine games. I remember I think he caught that ball against A&M. He was, like, running, and then the A&M cornerback, like, pushed him, like, 10 yards, and he ran in the end zone.
AJ was always a good like a third option or second option back. Like, you throw him out there when the others are tired, and he's still quality enough that you don't really have a big drop off. So hopefully he can get back to that form. I know he was hurt last season.
Yep. But yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, you can't say, yeah, the offense is just going to be 10 times better. But it is year two under Petrino. Last year, you know, they had 30 fumbles, 9 interceptions, 93 penalties for a total of 778 yards. I hope they're better than that, okay? They still ranked number 10 nationally. 459 yards a game, 30.9 points per game. So, just cut down on the turnover. I could just a fumble in the football. I mean, they didn't lose 30 fumbles, okay? But they lost a lot of them. And if, I mean, fumbles are 50-50. And I think they lost 17 or 18 of them, so the ball didn't bounce their way, which is part of being a Razorback. And a Razorback fan, the ball doesn't bounce your way. More times than not, it doesn't. So,
30 fumbles.
Yeah, 30 fumbles is just, it can't happen. If we want to have a successful season, it cannot happen. And we'll get into the schedule and, you know, stuff like that. But I just think of the Oklahoma State muff punt, you know, that cost a game. And you think about these other against Texas, you have the ball and you have a chance to go and either take the lead or tie and you fumble the ball. You know, just not that we were going to beat Texas, but it's just those things that you're just like, man.
You ain't helping yourself to beat Texas.
Yeah, you have the opportunity and, you know, you just squander it due to turnovers. But, I mean, you do have one of the, I think it's one of the two returning starters, or is it, it's DJ Lagway, it's Taylen Green,
Marcel Reed.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, and Sellers.
Who does he play for?
Yeah, South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, four returners.
That's it, isn't it?
Oh, no, mm-hmm. Garrett Nussmeier.
Oh, and Pavia.
Oh, yeah.
Dang, now I'm thinking of
them. Dang, there's a lot of them, yeah.
But it's less than half the league.
But
that's
you
still
gotta
less
think, I mean, name three guys better than Taylen Green on that list. I can name one for sure, Garrett Nussmeier.
Yeah, I'd say
I mean, South Carolina had a good year last year, but, I mean, it was kind of fugazi. They did not play a hard schedule.
I'm not buying the hype on South Carolina and Sellers.
No, they keep telling me
on TV. They keep telling me too on podcasts and YouTube. I'm not buying into it. Sorry.
They're in the same boat as Texas Tech to me. Everybody's so high on Texas Tech, and it's like, why? So, anyway,
I just want to. I don't want to get negative, but like they always talk about who's got the returners to the, like all their offense returning or whatever. But like we've seen Arkansas do it with KJ and Rocket, and then we go 6-6. Like that's not always the key to. That's not always what makes you the best team. Just having a returner.
No, it doesn't. On to Taylen Green. Enough of everybody else. Enough of all the quarterbacks. We're going to talk about our quarterback. And let me tell you why he's going to have a great season. Taylen Green last year, 60.4% passing. Not great. 3,100 yards passing. 608 yards rushing. 23 total touchdowns. Year two under Petrino. You hope. You know, you've heard it. You've seen it. You know, you saw it with Ryan Mallett. You saw the drop-off with Tyler Wilson. He had a great season with Bobby Petrino. Kind of his second year, but really his first year starting. A lot of passing yards. I think I was looking at the stats. I think Ryan Mallett threw for like 3,400, 3,600 yards and like 30 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. But the real thing that I saw was the passing percentage. I think Ryan went from like 60% passing to like 68% passing. And I always hear Taylen Green can't throw the football. He's all over the place. Yes, he short-armed a lot of throws last year. And they've been working on, you know, throwing it over the top. You hope he has a cleaner pocket this year. And I just think, I mean, Taylen's going to have a great year if we have more than one person to throw the football to. But I think back to the Tennessee game, and it was still pretty early in the year, I think, maybe game 5 or something like that, game 6. And he really looked like he was starting to find it, you know what I mean? The sideline throws to Andrew and all that, I mean, I just think if he has more than, you know, one person to throw the ball to, he's going to have a little bit better season. And obviously the offensive line is a big part of that.
I agree.
Yeah, we talked about the turnovers. I mean, can't have those. I mean, they're going to literally cost us football games. You saw it all year last year, over and over. I mean, because, I mean, really, we lost. It was two games that were just not even close, and that was Ole Miss and LSU, where I just felt like there's just no, we can't do anything. The defense can't stop them. We can't do anything on offense. I mean, what do you think? What do you think Taylen Green's potential is in the way of, I mean, could he be top five in the SEC? Could he be top three? Could he be, you know, do you think he's going to be 10th?
No, I think if he plays, like, his ceiling, like, he plays his best he can play, he can, like, be, like, the SEC Offensive Player of the Year and, like, Heisman talks. I don't think we'll win enough for him to win the Heisman, but he can play on that level.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And I think he can be a first-round pick.
Yeah, that's the problem.
If he plays at his peak.
Yeah. That's the problem. But, definitely winning games.
But if he's playing on that level, I mean, how many games do we win that we probably don't think we win right now? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing people aren't – I mean, because I hear so many people, it's this negativity. No one knows what this team's going to be, okay? I don't know what this team's going to be. And I'm listening to this stuff every day. The problem is that college football is so much more different. We have – three new offensive linemen. We basically have a whole new receiving corps. We have a new starting running back who's starting over who I thought at the end of last year was going to be the future. You know, so you got to think of how good that kid, I mean, his playing in at least practice. And I know we're talking about practice, but.
And I just want to say too, like you're saying, we don't know how this team's going to be. They could be real good. They could be real bad. But that's everybody right now too. Like, all these teams have first-year starting quarterbacks, first-year new offensive – Ole Miss has a new quarterback, new offensive line. How come there's just going to be – like, I mean, I know they have the track record of being better, but how come they're just a lock to be 10-2 and nobody else is, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, Ole Miss got a all new these teams, quarterback. Notre Dame has a new quarterback.
Any team can be good or bad. Like, it's just – like, look at Florida State, 12-0 to 2-10.
Yeah, and they had the money – on that roster to be a good
and
team.
That's how the portal's going to go. You're going to hit or you're going to miss. Yep. Hopefully you don't miss on every position.
Yeah. And you know, it's a lot of Sam Pittman talk. I get it. You know, if the guy wins four games this year, obviously, you know, he needs to be let go. But it's the beginning of the year. Why would you want your team to do bad just to get rid of some guy? And a lot of these people who are talking about firing Sam Pittman think Bobby Petrino's going to be the next head coach. Newsflash, he's not going to be. He's
all
gone. Everybody's gone. Travis Williams is gone. So, let's see how – let's watch him play a game. We hadn't even watched him play a game, and people's already firing him.
Do you know how long is on Pittman's contract? Is this the year?
This is the year, I think. So, I think there's an option.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If something goes horribly wrong and we lose some game, like you need to fire him or whatever. But it's like he's gone. Like, if we have a bad year, he's gone after this year no matter what. So, I mean, there's nothing to, like –
yeah,
there's nothing to like lose your mind about. Like, just and the other year goes.
My thing is, so Sam took over the team. They had the three or four win COVID year, and then the next year they win 9 games. That year was such an anomaly, not in the way that Arkansas. I don't think Arkansas can not win 9 games. In the way that you had 19 returning seniors. I'm talking Grant Morgan, Bumper Pool, Hunter Henry, all those guys were on that team, and they came back for their COVID year. That team was, I mean, we had a lot of old people on our team, and people who were here through the Chad Morris years and really wanted to win, the motivated guys. He overachieved too early, and then after that season, they win 7, and then they drop down to 4. They missed a bunch of guys in the portal, like you just said a minute ago. You're either going to hit or you're going to miss. And they missed on a lot of guys. A lot of injuries, too. Yeah, and then, you know, they won the seven games, and then your offense coordinator leaves. You bring in – you missed on an offense coordinator hire. You basically ruined KJ Jefferson. He didn't even know what to do. So, just let's just see how they do. Like I said, let's just watch them play a game. No one even knows – you don't even know how big these guys are. Or, any, I mean, you can look at the roster, but you know what I'm saying. You haven't seen them line up against another team. You've seen 10-minute clips, or some of these people don't even watch anything, and they just have this opinion that the team's going to be bad.
Yeah, and I think another thing, too, is like you said, like you don't know how this season's going to go, and you like listen to the radio and all that stuff all the time. I'm watching all these clips and all this stuff and listen to the radio, and I'm hearing them talk about all these new guys, and they're like, but they're not like giving you anything on the guys. It's like a lot of unknown this year. Like,
yeah,
we got a whole bunch of defense and offense that we just don't know if they're gonna.
That's because they don't.
We don't know if they can play in the SEC or not. You're not gonna know if they can play in the SEC until week three against Ole Miss, and we're gonna find out.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's when we're gonna know.
Exactly. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Arkansas is gonna win a national championship or Arkansas is going to the college football playoff, but. You know, and we'll get into the schedule and how tough it is and all that, but just calm down, okay? Let's be excited. It's football season. This is a happy time. Don't be already, you know, celebrating and or being mad that Arkansas, you know, lost to Ole Miss whenever it hasn't even happened yet. So, all right, but we are going to switch over to the defensive side of the ball. A lot of new faces over there, too. To me... It's the defensive line on this side. It's the lines on both sides of the ball that not concern me, but I'm going to be most interested in and maybe concern me a little, especially at the depth issues, I think is going to be the reason for concern. But, we're going to get right into it. You have to replace a very good edge rusher in Landon Jackson. A lot of people were down on him last year because he didn't get, you know, 27 sacks or whatever, but if you actually watch the game, you see that he's getting double teamed, he's getting chipped by the running back, he's drawing all kinds of attention, so it's going to be hard to replace that. And who's taking his spot is Quincy Rhodes, been on the team for a couple years. He's always looked like the part, like you know how Trey Biddy said, you know, the tight end room looks like their SEC. This guy looks like an NFL edge rusher. He's huge. Has he improved? Has he gotten better? Is he quicker? You know, does he have the hands to do it? But he's, you know, he's starting. So, it's, we'll see.
I really want to see, too, Charlie Collins as his backup, and I'm sure he's going to get some playing time. I want to see how he does. He was big-time coming in-state recruit coming in. So, I mean, it's a guy I'm obviously rooting for, so I'm hoping that he – somebody's going to have to step up this year. I hope it's Quincy Rhodes and Charlie Collins, but I just want to see something out of him, especially.
Yeah. Yep. The other edge rusher who I am excited to see is Justin Boone. I've heard a lot of good things about him. Transfer, redshirt senior, 6'4", 278. And, you know, Quincy Rhodes, I forgot to say, he's 6'6". So, yeah, he's the biggest defensive lineman we have on the roster total overall. But, yeah, Justin Boone, I'm excited to see him, man. He's probably the quickest defensive lineman we have.
I've heard, like I said, I haven't seen too much, but I've heard that Justice Boone was, like, a lot of the people that have been to practices and been watching, he's been a lot of their favorite. Like, they say ever since spring ball started, he's, like, stepped up, like, being more vocal, being an older guy, being a leader, yeah. So... I mean, yeah. I'm excited to see him. I don't know much about this defense. It's a lot of new guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to watch them play on Saturday and see what who's who and what's what.
Mm-hmm. Defensive tackle, obviously, Cam Ball, returning redshirt senior, 6'5", 323. I mean, basically the anchor of the defensive line. He's going to be playing a lot of snaps, if I had to guess. The majority, probably the most snaps.
I do know he's dealing with an injury right now, so I'm hoping he's getting over that quickly.
Yeah, well, I mean, I want to see him out there, but I'm not really too concerned about, you know, anything long term with him.
I hope he's healed up, ready to go by conference play.
Oh yeah, well, we need all these guys ready to go by conference play. Ian Jaffard, the other starting defensive tackle. See, I see that they listed two, but to be honest, with the depth issues and Oki being out right now, I mean, you'd really, I mean, maybe the first couple games you can run the four down linemen, but I mean, really, even against Ole Miss, I think they go to a 3-5 or a 3-4 or something like that. Especially if you still have.
I bet they'll mostly be playing a 3-3-5.
Yeah.
That's what they usually play.
Yeah. I'm just.
I know what you're
Yeah, with the depth, and you're going to want to rotate people and give them breaks, and, you know.
It's going to be kind of hard if you're running two out at the time. Yeah. I'm excited to see this Danny Solly guy go. They love him. I'm excited to see him play. Yeah, he's a big Hawaiian guy from transfer from BYU.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Yeah, I've heard about him.
I'm excited to see him.
Linebackers, obviously. You got Steven Diggs, Xavier Sori. I think I heard Phillip Lee may play. If they run like a 3-5, he may play like another down lineman, or I don't know how they're really going to run that, but I'm pretty sure that they mentioned that Phillip Lee specifically was going to be, they named one of those guys as being, you know, coming down out of the box and coming to the line of scrimmage. So I'll be curious to see how they use him. And then in the secondary, Julian Neal, cornerback, 6'2", 208. And all these corners are, you know, bigger than, you know, what we've had in previous years. Connie Walker, 6'2", redshirt senior, another bigger corner. Nickelback, Jordan Young, safety, Miguel Mitchell, and safety, Larry Worth, who's probably going to come down in the box, too, if I had to guess. He's a pretty big guy.
Yeah.
but, yeah, the defense, I'm confident, especially on our linebackers, the middle of the defense and the safeties.
That's about really the only about thing the corners. I'm not worried about.
Huh?
That's about the only thing I'm not worried about. I know the linebackers are going to be fine.
Oh, yeah, dude. The linebackers really, you know, I remember at the beginning of last year, there was a lot of questions around the linebacker room. And then like 2 weeks before the season, all the coaches were like, no, the linebackers are actually really, really good. And then they come out and you're like, holy crap, they're, you know, you could really tell the lateral speed in that room. Like they get sideline to sideline. I mean, quick. Yep. So yeah,
Story's a beast. He might be the best player overall on the team.
Yeah, and like you said, the unknowns are just, we don't know. We know the pieces that we saw last year. We know what the coaches tell us, and that's pretty much it. You know, so the baseline of what we know is not a lot. It's but you can tell when the guys they name. Those are going to be the dudes. The guys they don't really talk about, they may either not even be in the conversation or they're just consistent, you know. Consistently average, I guess. Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of new cornerbacks, so that's what I'm going to be really looking out for defensive-wise.
And we didn't say his name, and I really want to say his name. Monte Harrison. Apparently, this guy is catching 70-yard touchdowns every time they play football out there. He's going to play, and it's going to be awesome to see. You know, last year, they talked about him a little bit on ESPN just because it's a weird, cool story. But whenever he's catching touchdowns and stuff, they're going to probably do, like, some ESPN sit-down talk, and, you know, it's going to be a whole, like, exclusive little, you know what I mean, before, you know, coming out of a commercial break, you know, one of those little stories.
I really hope every time he got on the field last season, I loved it. They'd put him in for run plays, and he's just out there roughing somebody up. Like, you could just tell it's like grown man strength.
Dude, he was on
I want him to go catch a touchdown so they talk about him more. I don't want him just being out there in the scrum of all the people hitting somebody, which I love watching that, but I want him to catch a touchdown, get his name on the TV. Yeah, that's what I want to see.
He's gonna make some plays this year. I have confidence in that. I mean, I think he may be that fourth guy? Because right now they have three listed as starters and then the tight end. Mm-hmm. But they're going to run a lot of four wide. And then whenever they run that five wide, I guarantee you he's going to be out there.
It's just so funny to think he's a sophomore. He can play two more years.
Insane, dude. Insane. But let's take a look at the schedule. Week one, Alabama A&M coming up. What do you foresee in that matchup? What do you think? W? What's your – do you have a score prediction?
Okay, we beat UAPB 70-0 last year.
Which told us absolutely nothing.
But Auburn beat Alabama A&M 73-3 last year. So I think we need to beat them again by more than 60 points at least. So I'm going to say 63-0.
Dude, I think they were talking about the line being like 45.5 or something crazy. That's insane. I'm going to go I think I'm going to go 52-10. Yeah. I'm going to go 52-10.
I'm not – if they score 10 points on us, I won't be upset, but I want to see the zero. I would like to see 0 points scored by them.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We're not going to do score predictions for every single game, but we can kind of go through it. This Arkansas State game in Little Rock, I know that there's Little Rock fans and everybody wants Arkansas to still play in War Memorial, but I want to set an over-under, and you tell me before or after – the game clock in the stadium going down before or after halftime?
After
halftime? You think it holds out that long? You will watch the beginning of game. They just have – it's already broke before they even kick off.
I think – I'm going to go after. It's the last year on the contract. They're gonna get their stuff together. Yeah. They're gonna be the best game they've had in years.
They'll have pallets of water out there, extra porta potties for everybody. I'm not bagging on them. Listen, War Memorial, they've won a lot of games there. Okay, I get it. But at this point, it's taken away from official visits. It's taken away from season ticket holders. It's taken away from a lot of things and a lot of contributors. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
just, you know, be done with it. I know Sam said something about they asked him, you know, are you going to do a home and home? He said, no, I ain't doing a home and home. Ask the next guy in, you know, 100 and whatever years. He said, I'm the first coach to ever say yes to playing this game. But he's done with it too.
Yep.
And, you know, and they finally got out of the and we'll talk about it week 7, they play A&M. They finally got out of the Arlington deal. So you got another home game. Yes, you have to play another one on the road, but, you know, like this year you have, what, 1, 2, 3? Well, you only play 4 SEC teams at home. But the next year you're going to play 5, and then it'll go back to 4 and 5. But on those years, whenever you play, you know what I'm saying, that every other year you're going to have 5 SEC home games.
Yeah.
Because they're about to go to 9. So, mm-hmm. You know, and that's something that broke the other day is that they're switching to 9 games, which – whatever. I mean, our schedule's already hard, so, I mean.
Yeah, it don't really change too much. Yeah.
Plug Memphis in with Kentucky. I call it pretty much square. So you got Arkansas State week 2. Win-loss, what do you think?
We'll win that game.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they're going to – it may be worse than – well, it probably won't be worse than Alabama A&M, but I think they'll beat them by – at least 3 scores. I don't think it's going to be close.
They need to.
Yeah.
If they don't, I'll be worried.
Yeah, going into week 3, you'll be like, oh, Lord. You know, their Ole Miss's quarterback's going to be throwing for, you know, 1,200 yards going into that game. 7 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So week 3, Ole Miss. You know, and we're doing these predictions, but it's really not, I mean, just kind of feel. It's just kind of feel on, I don't know, roster and kind of what we see and what we see from their team, which is pretty much all positives. Their social media team's going crazy over there at Ole Miss. I mean, they got it pumping over there, man.
Oh, yeah.
So we're not going to go through every game, but we'll do maybe a record prediction at the end of it. Week 4 at Memphis. I don't know why we're going to play them there without first playing in Fayetteville. Like, if we're going to do a home-and-home, then we get the first game. At least that's just how I feel. But I don't even know why we had this on the schedule, but it is what it is. Week 5, Notre Dame. You know, we'll see how they do. They got a new quarterback, like you said. I'm sure their defense is going to be salty. Marcus Freeman is – I really like him. I think he's a great coach.
He's good.
Yeah. I'm happy that he's been successful there. That's a tough job to take. You know, being so young, he's a pretty young guy.
Yeah, he's done a great job there. Notre Dame has really struggled in like big games recently.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since he's been there, they don't struggle in big games. So, I mean, Notre Dame's going to show up ready to play, even though it's a home game for us. Going to be packed house. This is a situation they've been thriving in with him. So
yeah,
it'll be
the only games they really lose are, you know, to Northern Illinois in like week 3.
Yeah, the one that nobody expects. Yeah, nobody's even watching.
Yeah. Week 6 at Tennessee. You played them here last year. You're returning the favor this year, going to Knoxville. Josh Heupel, another new quarterback. They finally named somebody after that whole issue. You know, we had one of the brothers, they had the other brother, and then now they're both at UCLA or something.
And then they got the UCLA quarterback?
Yeah.
The old UCLA quarterback?
Yeah, they traded.
Just a trade, yeah.
And then week 7, like I said, you got Texas A&M coming to Fayetteville. I think the last time they were here, Johnny Manziel was on the team.
He was.
That's what I can assume. That was whenever they played. Week 8, Auburn at home. This is a game that Arkansas tends to get kicked in the face in. No matter how good or bad Auburn is, they come in here and they beat us by 50 points pretty much every time. And we beat them at their house pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here recently, we beat them there, they beat us here.
Back and forth like that.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Week 9, Mississippi State at home. See, I really like this. Week 7 to 9, all home games, all SEC games, all in a row. Week 9, Mississippi State. They may finish 12th in the SEC. I don't think Mississippi State's going to be very good this year. Just my opinion.
I agree with you there.
Week 10 at LSU. To me, going into the season, I know everybody's all about Arch Manning and Arch Manning. He's going to be great, but I think Garrett Nussmeier is the best quarterback in the SEC, in my opinion.
I think that's our toughest game.
Yeah. Yeah, especially like, on the road. You know it's going to be at night. You know it's going to be at night. You know it's going to be – everything's going to be against us in that game. Week 11 at Texas in Austin.
We'll also probably be at night.
Yeah, that's going to be a – that's just going to be a tough game, man. Depending on, like I said, I think Arch is going to be really, really good. He's like preseason All-American. He's like best odds to win the Heisman. I think he's probably thrown like 30 passes. And half of them were against Texas State last year. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think he's going to be great, but let's...
We don't know.
Cut me a break, man. I mean, preseason All-American?
I'm big on Arch. I think he's going to be good, but I mean, we could all be wrong. We've done it before.
Yeah, and I'm not saying – listen, Arch has handled all this. He is one of the nicest guys, and I really truly mean that. I've seen his interviews. I've seen the way he handles himself. This is nothing to Arch as a person. I'm just saying the media is just putting so much pressure, like, let the kid, you know, play a little.
Yeah.
And then Missouri at home, week 12 – that's what I'm thinking.
We're doing it this year.
This is the year, man. This has to be the year. I am so tired of losing to that guy. I cannot stand losing to him.
We're 4-12 against Missouri.
Yeah, I don't know.
But about to be 5-12 though.
Yeah. All right. So, what do you think? How do you see the schedule really playing out? I know it's hindsight, but right now, with the way you, it's the road's in front of us. There's a lot of opportunities there. There's going to be a lot of just tough games. This is a hard schedule. I think it showed, you pull a team from the Pac or from the Big 12, like Kansas State, who was predicted. Now, they lost in week 1. I know that personally, but they were picked to win the Big 12, but before the season started, they put out this analytics and was like, yeah, a team that's going to win the Big 12 would only average about 7 wins with this schedule. Now, I'm not saying that should be the standard, but that's just what the computers tell us. You thinking hard on it?
Yeah, I don't
know. Okay, I'll tell you. Let me do mine. I'm real torn on them
this year.
I was thinking about this.
I've been bouncing around so much on them.
I've been thinking about this. They're going to win all their non-conference games, including Notre Dame. Okay? That's 4 wins.
Okay.
I think they beat Auburn. I think they beat Mississippi State. And I think they beat Missouri. That's 7 wins. Okay? Now, that gives you an opportunity to... I think A&M is going to be a tough game. Now, I don't think Marcel Reed is this world beater, but I think he is a very solid college quarterback in the sense of he probably has really a real control of the offense. I think their coach last year showed that, you know, he can win with that program. I mean, they beat they played Notre Dame pretty close at the beginning of the year in his very first game. I like their coach. So I think that's going to be a tough win. Obviously, LSU, Texas, Tennessee, all those are going to be hard games. So, but I think 7 wins. I think your only opportunity to get 8 is in week 3 against Ole Miss. I think that, and I only say that because it's in the beginning of the year. I know they play South Carolina the week before that, but like I said, I'm not high on South Carolina. So I don't see that really being, I mean, I hope they don't lose to South Carolina because that's going to really suck for us unless Ole Miss isn't good this year, which I find that hard to believe.
I think they can beat Tennessee too. 6 of our 8 SEC games is first-year quarterback. So, I mean, we really don't know how some of these teams are going to perform until we're a few weeks into the season. Yeah.
And the reason why I say I think they're going to win all 4 non-conference games and I think they're going to win 7 games is because I really, truly have confidence and our quarterback. And quarterback is the most important position. And I think this offense could score 35, 38 points a game. I don't think that that's out of the question. I mean, they scored 30 and, you know, had 30 fumbles last year. And had 700, almost 800 yards in penalties. Just cut down, I mean, not even, I'm not saying cut down 50%, but if they could cut down 10, 15%, That's for sure another win last year, and that's Oklahoma State win.
I agree.
And that would put you at 7 wins if they win that game last year. Well, 8 wins if you include the bowl game. But
I'd be happy with 7. 7 would be
7 regular season or
they
7.
They played really 7 regular season. Yeah, they played really good if they had 7.
Yeah, I think that would.
I think by the time we get to the Notre Dame game, we'll have 1 loss. And it's either we'll lose to Ole Miss or we'll beat Ole Miss and then do the Arkansas thing and go lose to Memphis in that very next game.
Let me give you – what if I told you –
that's what I think is going to happen.
Because I thought about this question. What if I told you no other games starting in the from week 1 to week 5, you beat Ole Miss? What do you think the record is? You beat Ole Miss. You still think it's – going into week 5, you think it's 4-1 if you beat Ole Miss?
So you're saying Alabama A&M to Notre Dame, what do I think the record would be? And I know they beat Ole Miss?
Yeah.
I still think they'd have at least 1 loss. They'd lose to Notre Dame or Memphis, one of the two.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think that is such
– I would like to think they would win that, but I've just seen it happen in this era so much.
And that Ole Miss game is going to be so important – for momentum. We talked about it. Those games against Texas A&M were always so pivotal. And you'd lose in heartbreaking fashion, and then, you know, you'd have to go play, you know, Auburn on the road, or you'd have to go and, you know what I mean? It's just one of those games that just we leave that game, especially when A&M was really moving. Big defensive linemen. I mean, we'd come out of there all badgered, and then we'd have to play Alabama, you know. At home, and we'd get, you know, 56 to 10 curb stomped. So,
yeah.
And it just destroys everything in the momentum of the season. And I think, really, if you want to look at the first half of the schedule, that Ole Miss game is going to be everything. Obviously, you can't trip against Arkansas State. If they lose that game, they can't lose that game, period. They're not going to, but hey, they cannot lose that game in week two. So, you got a record, or you're just you're pondering your
I'm going to be honest. Okay, I'm going through the record, and I'm just being honest. This is, I've been looking at this for like weeks.
Yeah, I know.
I can see us being 8-4. I can see us being 4-8, and I'm sticking to it. If we beat Ole Miss on the road, I think we can beat Tennessee on the road, and then we just lose to Notre Dame, A&M, LSU, and Texas. And I can see that if we beat Ole Miss.
Yeah.
But if we lose to Ole Miss, and then especially see how we look against Memphis, that's going to be a big deal for how the rest of the season turns out.
Yeah, and I forget how, you know, much in the air Tennessee is and all that. I still think they're going to be a good ball club. But if you win that game, I'm pretty sure there's a bye week, and then you have three home games in a row. I mean, you'd hope you'd finish 2-1 in that three-game stretch, at least.
If we get to this Notre Dame game undefeated or with one loss, I think we can win 7 or 8, no doubt about
that's
it.
That's the reason why I say 7. I'm at 7-5. Obviously, I'd love, you know, 8-9 wins, but it's just tough to find. I mean, they'll look, and our hardest games are at the end of the year. Whenever it's just, you know what I mean, everybody's holding together by knee braces and, you know, so everything else.
My official prediction: I'll split my 4-8 and 8-4 and go 6-6. That's what
six
I'll go
six.
official 6-6. That's okay. What I'll do.
So you got 6-6. I got 7-5. They could go out here and win 3 games, or they could come out here, like you said, and win 8, and it'd just be awesome. But realistically, this is a hard schedule. And the longer you look at it, the more you could talk yourself into more wins, or the more you could talk yourself into, well, they lose to Ole Miss, you know, Memphis maybe pretty, you know, you're rolling into Memphis, you're like, man, we just got curb stomped, and now we got to go to Memphis, and then you got, you know, Notre Dame waiting on you the next week, and then you got to go to Knoxville. I mean,
it's a hard schedule.
In the first 6 weeks, I could see them going 5-1 or 2-4, you know. I mean, that's just it's reality. So we'll see.
I think the big thing with this team is, like, you said that you could see them putting up 38 points a game or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think this team is going to have no issue putting up points. It's like, can we not give up points?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just for an example, and I don't want to keep harping on the Ole Miss game, but, like, how many Ole Miss games have we watched where we lost, like, 52 to 51 or 48 to 44 or something? You know what I mean? Like,
that was that year we won. I'm pretty sure the year we won 9 games, KJ Jefferson had, like, the game of his life. He had, like, 600 total yards, and we lost the game. It was, like, 62 to 59. Or, no, we went for 2 at the end of the game and didn't get it.
And we lost by 1.
Yeah.
It's just, like, we're going to score a lot of points this year. The unknown for me is the defense. I just want to see us, if we can keep people below like 21 points a game, I think we should win a lot, which that's asking a lot.
That's why I like our matchup against Notre Dame. I think, honestly, we could just outscore them. You know,
I agree with you. They're going to have a really good defense, though. They always have a good defense, but I'm not impressed by their offense. They're going to run the ball really good, mm-hmm. and they're going to have a new quarterback that who knows what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And look at Texas, really the year good. We beat. The year we beat Texas a few years ago, the really big game,
mm-hmm.
they ran the ball really good, and then they had a new quarterback who turned out to suck.
Yeah.
So we beat the crap out of him.
Yep. And he missed a lot of passes. A lot of deep, open passes. You know. Still a good year. That was still a great year, but we –
It was, but you never know what these top teams are going to be when they have new stuff.
Yep. Everything revolves around the quarterback. Everything. Mm-hmm. Especially in these high-powered offenses or – modern day college football, if your quarterback, you know, can't throw for 300 yards, you're probably going to lose, unless you're just running the ball really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So 6-6, 7-5. football season's here, man. I'm excited. I'm ready to see them, you know, run through the A and all the banner, and you know, just I'm just excited for it, man. I'm excited for the podcast this year and continuing to put out as much content as we can. It's going to be a good year. At least I hope so.
And you know what? My coworker told me today that you can pay money to run out of the A with them.
No way.
So like and subscribe so we can raise money for Alex to run out of the A with the Razorbacks.
I'm not doing that. My running through the A ended in high school. I would run through the Alma A with the football team. I'm not doing that anymore. That dog about drugged me from the 50-yard line to the end zone one time. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm too old. I got bad knees. All right, guys. Well, that is going to conclude our preseason week one episode. Thank you guys so much for the support. Like I said, we're going to continue to put out content every single day. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, share the video. Follow us on TikTok, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Yeah, we appreciate it. We'll see y'all next week after an Arkansas W. See y'all.